The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com. What is RPF, and how do I write and read it ethically? This article was written by Kat Tenbarge on February 6th, and there is a note. All products are independently selected by our editors. If you buy something, we may earn an affiliate commission. It was the stuff of RPF. After more than 15 years of making YouTube videos together, Dan Howell and Phil Lester sat down this past October to share a revelation. They were in a secret, long-term gay relationship for most of their career. Fan, the ship name for Howell and Lester, is one of the most popular real-person fiction, or RPF, pairings of all time. Fan dominated platforms like Archive of Our Own, one of the biggest and most popular websites for fan fiction, which has recently seen an all-time high interest in RPF, according to Google Trends. Band members, K-pop idols, video game streamers, actors, and athletes are all popular categories where fans ship real people. They fantasize about specific pairings, write fic, draw art, and even conspire that the relationships are real. Speculation about the sexuality of famous people is rampant, and alongside the growing popularity of RPF is a growing conversation about whether this is an ethical practice or an invasive, inappropriate one. Now, some think that shipping real-life people is problematic, Howell said in his video with Lester, where they discussed the history of Fan with humor and sometimes even appreciation. I think that humans cannot stop this natural tendency, so we might as well embrace the good sides of it. But, Howell and Lester continued, lines were crossed when people began investigating their real lives for evidence that they were gay and in a relationship. They recalled fans reaching out to their family members, covertly recording them in public, and spamming their comment sections with the conspiracy theory. Those fans may have been onto something, but trying to confirm their suspicions turned into a public FBI hunt, Lester said. It's almost as if people are no longer interested in the real you, Howell reflected. But, he emphasized, this was a minority of fans and shippers, with the majority of their fandom staying respectful. He and Lester differentiated between the fetish fan art of them that was created with the intent they would never find out about it, versus people commenting on their live streams and shouting about Fan during stage shows. For Anna Wilson, an assistant professor of English at Harvard University who teaches classes on fan fiction, the ethical boundaries around RPF are something she's thought about a lot. Archive of Our Own has more permissive content policies for fan fiction under its content guidelines. The creation of RPF never constitutes harassment in and of itself. Fictional works in which characters based on real people die, are subjected to slurs, or are otherwise harmed as part of a narrative are not usually a violation of the harassment policy. According to the guidelines, content becomes rule-violating when it is designed to be seen by the subject of the work, for example, being directly given to them. To me and to a lot of other RPF readers The line is when you send it to the celebrity, because at that point, you are violating their boundaries, Wilson says. Other people think imagining and sharing writing about a celebrity in fictitious scenarios is violating, but she disagrees. To me, that's an imaginary construct. It's not the real celebrity, she explains. I tend to think that RPF is fundamentally harmless, unless it is forced upon the celebrity in some way, and as long as it is carefully labeled that no one reads it without knowing what they're getting into. The idea of a celebrity being a construct dates back to the earliest days in Hollywood, Wilson says, where fan magazines were produced by the entertainment industry, which really encouraged fans to feel like the celebrities are their friends. Fans could even write into the magazines to talk about how they perceived their favorite stars. It was the original parasocial relationship, one that has expanded significantly alongside social media. But RPF also predates the internet, with Star Trek fans whose fix involved meeting celebrities at fan conventions and swapping the characters with their actors. Then, in the 2000s and 2010s, fan fiction became even more accessible when it was digitized and accessed online and collected in sites like fanfiction.net. Some popular RPF pairings from this era, like the members of the band My Chemical Romance, are still the subject of ongoing fan fiction today, even after the actual band retired. There is some truth to the fans' fevered imagining of the fact that tour life is very weird and bands, of course, become very codependent and all up in each other's business, Wilson says, recalling how Spice Girls star Melanie Brown described having a little bit of a thing with fellow singer Jerry Halliwell when they were touring. There is a sexual frisson between band members because, otherwise, how could they perform as well as they do? They have to have chemistry. The lines between a persona, a fictional character being played, and a celebrity's real life can get messy, as evidenced by the fandom discourse about the hit gay erotic HBO Max romance Heated Rivalry. Originally posted in an early form on Archive of Our Own, by author Rachel Reed, Heated Rivalry has since inspired plenty of RPF about its cast members, as well as scrutiny around what fans suspect is a relationship between two of its stars. A lot of that discourse revolves around the role of women shipping and writing about gay men, which is the more common gender dynamic in RPF. Women and queer people are used to, culturally, accepting narratives that are primarily about men. We've been reading books about men since we were in school, says feminist YouTuber Ofi Doki, who has covered the controversy around women and Heated Rivalry on her channel. With RPF, in part, it's a gendered backlash. When men write fan fiction, it's just a derivative work. It gets to stand as its own thing, as art. But when women do it, it's always this silly thing that needs to be criticized. Arguably, there's even a gendered impact on how RPF fan fiction and shipping affects the subjects, with women being disadvantaged. While the male stars of Heated Rivalry have been rewarded for their on- and off-screen chemistry, an anonymous Oscar voter told News Nation that, besides not enjoying the movie as much, they snubbed Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande from nominations because they were turned off by their closeness during promos and red carpets, a closeness that at least some RPF fans and Glinda/Elphaba shippers actually appreciated, if the fanfics are any indication. People really love to draw this equivalency of Well, we all agree it's bad when women and lesbians are sexualized, and this is just doing the same thing to men. But when did we agree that? Ophie Doki says. When did we ever care about how lesbians and women are being treated? On the flip side, fictitious sexualized depictions of real women and celebrities are currently widespread in the form of non-consensual deepfakes, which use their real likeness to create fake sexually explicit material that is then often shared for harassment and profit. Fan works are, of course, very different from deepfakes. Fan works tell a story, and many of them don't involve sex or nudity at all. They are typically based on the creator's impression of the subject matter versus manipulating real photos and videos of them into sexualized images. Fan works also tend to involve real creator labor and are primarily housed in relatively walled-off online spaces like Tumblr and Archive of Our Own. Although, with algorithm-driven platforms like X, formerly Twitter, there is more of a chance that a fan's work or take on something will get blasted well outside the boundaries of their fandom, invoking disproportionate backlash and rage. Examples of RPF violating the boundaries around sharing it directly with the subject can often happen in press or media settings, like on late-night talk shows, not directly from fans. Often, the celebrity is instructed to read it aloud. The existence of fan fiction is played for laughs. These aren't fans forcing the stars into uncomfortable situations. It's the wider celebrity industry weaponizing fandom and fan interest for profit and attention. More than 90% probably of RPF writers are appalled and disgusted and ashamed whenever anything like that happens, says Wilson. That's a major violation of the RPF writers' privacy, as well as the celebrities. It's really gross, and I wish people wouldn't do it. At its best, RPF can launch writing careers and communities that celebrate diversity, self-expression, and shared appreciation for art. The stigma around RPF can have the opposite effect, replacing feelings of belonging and creativity with shame. But as long as fans and outsiders respect the boundaries of everyone involved, there's no reason to feel guilty. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com, Teen Legal Guide, Understanding Your Rights. This article was written by Leah Matheson on January 28th. Developing an understanding of your legal rights as a teenager is a significant step toward achieving independence and making responsible choices. Legal rights protect you under the law, define what activities you are permitted to engage in, and protect you from unfair treatment. While there are limitations on the legal rights available to children and teenagers compared to adults, it is essential to understand these rights to prevent any violations of your own rights. As stated in the International Journal of Children's Rights, young people are entitled to the same legal rights as adults, even if they may have difficulty understanding or exercising them. This shows that being aware of your legal rights will allow you to be more confident and responsible while using your rights and navigating through school, work, home, and public areas. This article explains the legal rights of all teenagers, where these rights come from, and why it is essential to understand them. Teen Legal Rights. Teen legal rights refer to the legal protections provided to individuals under the age of 18 years. These laws aim to create a safe environment for minors while also allowing them a degree of personal independence. Legally, teenagers have rights that are often associated with education, safety, privacy, and fair treatment from adults or authority figures. Although parents or guardians often make numerous decisions on behalf of teenagers, the judicial system recognizes teens as developing individuals who require respect and guidance. The International Journal of Law, Policy, and the Family explains that children have equal moral worth and that their rights protect their interests as they are approaching maturity. This indicates that, despite certain limitations, teenagers are not weak or powerless. In fact, the regulations significantly empower teens to express their views and receive fair treatment, even in situations where adults hold authority. A teenager's rights can change through their development depending on age, location, and situation. However, even if rights may be limited now, that does not mean their rights disappear. The laws are an attempt to balance safety with responsibility. Teenagers may not always be making final legal or medical decisions, but they are still protected from unfair punishment, discrimination, or harm. Where teen rights come from? Teen rights come from three different types of law, each providing protections for teens. Federal laws protecting basic rights, state laws establishing school and work rules, and international agreements influencing protection against exploitation and other abuses of minors. Understanding where teen rights come from is important because it allows you to recognize that all laws exist for a reason and shows what to do if your rights are ever violated. Laws designed to protect teens' opportunities to grow and learn are well established through the various law sources. For example, federal law guarantees a teen's right to an education. State law sets the legal age for employment, and international agreements protect a teen's rights against exploitation or abuse. According to the National Library of Medicine, work performed by children under the age of 16 should be subject to regulation in order to ensure that their employment is confined to periods which will not interfere with their schooling and to conditions which will not interfere with their health and well-being. This information demonstrates the purpose of laws that are established to protect a teen's opportunity for education and growth. It also provides guidance on how a teen can respond when their rights are being ignored. Common areas where teen rights apply. Many everyday situations in which teens can use their legal rights include schools, homes, workplaces, and public areas. At school, teens have the right to an education and fair treatment under school rules. They are also entitled to certain protections during disciplinary situations. At home, laws protect teens from abuse, neglect, and exploitation. These protections are meant to create safe environments where teens can grow and learn. School-related rights may include protection from discrimination, the right to due process during suspensions, and reasonable privacy and personal belongings. These rights help ensure discipline is fair and appropriate. Public spaces bring their own set of rights. Teens are entitled to safety and freedom from discrimination. Those who work also have protections, including limits on work hours, safe conditions, and fair pay. Workplace laws prevent teens from being scheduled for unsafe hours, forced into dangerous jobs, or paid unfairly. These protections are especially important for teens entering the workforce for the first time. Limits on teen legal rights. Although teens have many legal protections, some limits exist to safeguard their well-being. Parents or guardians often make medical or legal decisions, and schools can enforce rules that restrict certain behaviors. Teens usually cannot sign legal contracts or make major medical decisions without adult consent. These limits are not meant to take away your rights. Instead, they maintain safety and structure while you grow into independence. Learning to recognize the difference between reasonable limits and unfair treatment is a key part of developing maturity and self-advocacy skills. Importance of understanding your rights. Teenagers who are informed about their legal rights are better able to stand up for themselves, make better choices, and feel comfortable when dealing with issues related to their rights. When teens understand their rights, they are less likely to be intimidated or misinformed during serious situations, such as school discipline or interactions with law enforcement. In addition, learning about legal rights prepares teens for adulthood by promoting legal awareness and civic responsibility. Understanding how rights function encourages respect for the law and supports informed participation in society. It also helps teens better understand their role as future citizens. Conclusion. Learning about teen legal rights gives you the knowledge to understand your protections, responsibilities, and limits under the law. By knowing your rights, you can make better decisions, recognize unfair treatment, and confidently navigate everyday life. Now that you are informed about your legal rights as a teenager, you will be able to make more knowledgeable decisions and successfully develop into a responsible adult. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. What are the Patriot Games proposed by Trump? Here's a debrief. This article was written by Saga L. Hefni on January 27th. Background. On December 18, 2025, President Donald Trump announced a new four-day high school athletic event featuring some of the best adolescent athletes in the country in honor of America's 250th birthday celebration. The event, the Patriot Games, as Trump dubbed it, will bring a total of 2 students from every state, 1 male and 1 female athlete, to participate in the competition that will take place in the fall of 2026 in Washington, D.C.'s National Mall during Independence Day weekend. Trump emphasizes that this will be an event strictly for biologically female and male students, prohibiting the participation of transgender or non-gender conforming individuals, which sparked a discourse among people about the blatant discrimination that President Trump has expressed. The gender conflict. This four-day event, the Patriot Games, is no exception to criticism and controversy, with suspicion about the true intentions of this event. A big factor in a lot of the controversy surrounding the event is the approach regarding gender. Trump is not new to openly discriminating against the LGBTQ+ community, due to his open unfondness of transgender athletes and even just transgender people as a whole. This was shown with his proposal of a national policy to ban transgender girls and women from participating in female sports teams in federally funded institutions. This policy has been implemented through executive orders and has caused many U.S. sports-based agencies to change their rules. And without a doubt, Patriot Games will not be the outlier to this policy, with the statement, "I promise there will be no men playing in women's sports. You're not going to see that," given by Trump. The Patriot Games only heightens anti-trans rhetoric, which can greatly stunt transgender youth due to the lack of representation. Hunger Games Comparison. A key area of discussion stems from many individuals comparing the Patriot Games to the Hunger Games, a quite dystopian franchise. What you may not notice is the broader symbolism of this comparison. Although a franchise beloved by many, there is no hiding the fact of the violent connotations and the elitist behavior in this piece of fiction. The Hunger Game Patriot Game parallel suggests that this event, essentially rooted in celebrating the birth of a nation, could all just be a cover-up for the chaotic state of conflict that the United States is facing. The event is dubbed performative because of its out-of-touch creation rooted in elitism and failure to recognize that this is unwarranted compared to other measures we can take to bring a rather diverged country to be united again in ways that can actually benefit day-to-day people in the long run rather than just 4 days of entertainment. For now, only time will tell where true intentions lie and the true effect that the event will have on the United States. We have run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.